B-Pod Studios.
On the line with us right now, as I'm sure he will tell us, that the 76ers will now roll through the playoffs and win the NBA title with nobody getting in their way, from NBC Sports Philadelphia Pre and Post and Temple University and your 76ers, Mr. Mark Jackson. Isn't that right, Mark Jackson?
I wouldn't go that far.
Now, Mark, I love you. I was watching a post game last night, and our producer Jamie caught this as well. This is a big win for the Sixers. Nobody's denying that, but it's far from putting the Celtics in the rearview mirror, correct?
Exactly. Celtics are a scary team. They're very deep. They're very athletic, and they have a lot of scoring, but they also have a lot of athleticism there then, and they can defend any position.
Mark, why did the Sixers win this game? How did they win this game? You look at the depth was a little bit of an issue, considering Aaron Baines missed the second half. Marcus Smart had to leave the game after his flagrant. How did the Sixers win this game in your eyes?
I thought they got tough. I thought Boston made some shots early on. I thought the 76ers picked up the defensive rotations and bought them shots that Boston was hitting in the first quarter. They started missing in the fourth, and the 76ers just started rolling. So I think it was a domino effect of things that was benefiting the 76ers by hindering Boston's success.
Speaking with Mark Jackson, it looked like a game I was watching in the 1980s. And I think I've talked about this before with you, but Joel Embiid was just all about hammering the blocks last night. He was down there. He was going for fouls. He was getting easy layups. He was fighting for layups. He was going to the foul line. It seemed like something that was of a different era. That seems like something we were watching last night.
I agree with you 100%. It was a throwback, right? It seemed like he was in the 90s, burying guys deep in the post, being strong and physical. You know, Joel said something in the press conference, and I have to agree with him. And I think he said, I'm unguardable. I cannot be stopped. And that's the truth. And you know why? Because he hits his free throws. 20 for 21 on foul shots for your 7-foot center. That's unheard of right now. People look at that stat like, well, no, he must have been a shooting guard. Like, no, ladies and gentlemen, that's their center. So for him to be able to do that, you can't guard him when he's burying people deep in the post and not selling him for all those 3-point shots. He really impacted the game on a low post area, and it was tough for him to guard. Joel was 1 for 3 on threes. I'll live with him shooting 3 to 4 3-pointers max a game.
I agree with that on that one. Now, when it comes to just historically how Al Horford has played against Embiid, like, what is it that has been giving him problems when he's played against him before?
You know what's so special about Al Horford, man? He's a vet. He's been around the block. He's seen all those tricks that Joel does. And he doesn't fall for him. He stays very consistent with it. And one thing to keep in mind, like, the rule is whoever gets the lowest the first normally wins the battle. So when Joel goes to try to back Al Horford down, Al Horford gets so low. He uses leverage. He uses leverage, and Joel can't back him down completely. But last night, Joel wasn't trying to catch the ball 7 feet from the basket and then back him down. He's getting deep position, and you can't do that. You can't guard Joel that way because he's too big, too strong. But then on the other end, I've said it last year during the playoffs, and I'll say it again. I really believe that Al Horford is the only player in the NBA that can guard both Joel and Ben Simmons. I think he is that mobile and that good defensively.
Mark, what do you see different about the Sixers' defense this year? Like last night, it seemed similar to what it was last year, where Boston was just able to run a pick and roll, anticipate the switch, and then boom, you have the mismatch of Kyrie on Joel Embiid or Kyrie on J.J. Redick, whatever it may be, or Horford on Redick. Is there a different philosophy, do you think, this year than last year, and do you think it's working?
I don't know if it's a different philosophy. I just think this team has gotten more athletic, respectfully. I think Robert Covington was great defensively. It was a streaky shooter. He was great defensively. But I think they got more two-way players. Dario Saric, everybody knows, is my guy. I love Dario. But defensively, I think is a big upgrade when you come in with Mike Scott. Mike Scott's a better defensive player than Dario. So you look at Ilyasova, Bellinelli. The Sixers have James Ennis. You know, they brought in players that can play. They can be 3-and-D type of guys. They don't have to worry about guys who only can play one end of the floor when you had Ilyasova and Bellinelli. Surprisingly, it was just shooters. They couldn't defend. Now it's hard to nitpick the 76ers apart because they got guys that can hit the three on one end and defend on the other. And that's something that Boston took advantage of last year. So I think they got a good mixture of more depth in a defensive end of the court, and it's hard for you to score against them and isolate people.
I'll speak with Mark Jackson, Sixers pre- and post-game analyst on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Also, not such a shabby NBA career. 9 years in the NBA, Mark?
Close to it.
A little bit here. Now, here's an issue that a lot of people are having today. Marcus Smart, Joel Embiid. From your vantage point, what did you see unfold in the early goings of the third quarter?
You know, okay, I'm not going to lie. Marcus, I'm a fan of Marcus Smart. He's a fire starter. He's that goon. Every team needs that tough guy. And for the 76ers, Mike Scott is that guy for the Sixers. But, okay, he might think Joel got it with a dirty screen. I didn't see it that way. And I'm a guy who set a lot of dirty screens. So he didn't hit him with a dirty screen. I just think Marcus Smart was in his bag. He wanted to pick a fight, and he wanted to pick the biggest guy to start with. And Marcus Smart does that sometimes. Sometimes he just come in like, let's see. All right, I'm going to start a fight with you today. And I think that's where he was last night. Because, first of all, the way Marcus Smart normally instigates things, he normally gets about it, gets his hype, and he feeds off that. But I thought that shove in the back while his back was turned, you know, as a guy that's been in a car accident, I just thought about Joel's back. Like, that could have been, Peter said it was a little shove, but he put all his force in that shove, and that man's back was certainly not prepared for it. That could have really been dangerous and caused the injury. So I didn't see that, but Joel getting a tech, yes, because he went back at him. That's the rule. You got to get him a tech. But the Marcus Smart thing was just way over the top, even for Marcus Smart.
What did you make of Brett Brown's performance last night?
Well, I'm a fan of Brett Brown. You know, I think you got to give him credit. You got to give him a chance with talent. You know, I think the reason why people are always calling for Brett Brown's head because we always link him to the process. We link him to the losing the games. And I think that's why Philadelphia fans have a hard time trusting Brett Brown because they link him with losing. But I think once he gets, he has talent. There's no excuse now. And I think he is a good coach. And I think he has enough talent. And I truly believe the 76 team can go far. But remember, they've only played 8 games home with this new team, with this new lineup. And I think it's hard for anyone. You can bring Phil Jackson out of retirement or Reeves Prime. It's hard to get a team to click on all the cylinders when they've only played 8 games together. No one's that great, not even Houdini.
Yeah. I think Brett Brown is now the 3rd longest tenured coach in Sixers history, but I think he has the 7th worst winning percentage. So, yeah, of course, it's the process years, but I'm with you, Mark. I think people are just sick of seeing him because they associate him with losing.
That's true. That's all it is. So, like, you know, you see how outsiders come on after us, and every day we ask them, how many Brett Brown hangers they got? Like, man, it's bad. Even on wins. But I think that's what it is. They just remember Brett Brown. Well, yeah, he's good now. But remember, we was only won 20 games. That's all people remember, because you're Philly fans. We hard on people. You know how it works.
Yes, I do. Mark, with this new starting five, okay, you got Milwaukee. Let's break it down to just the final four in the East, and we'll go Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, and why am I drawing a blank? Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, and Boston. Who's the one team that you think will give the Sixers the most trouble should they face in an Eastern Conference final?
I think it's Toronto. I think Toronto, because they have so much depth. They have, it's similar to the Sixers as far as they have two-way players. Guys that can play on both ends of the floor, and they deep. I think, for me, I think the Bucks, I think they go as far as Giannis takes them. And if Giannis, and he's been taking them all year, and like I've been wanting to say before, I believe on your show before, like, I was waiting for them to fall off. I was like, oh, there's no way they can keep the ball like this. There's no way they can keep this pace. But Giannis is carrying them. And you have to double team. You have to make mixed matches for him so it leaves their shooters open. And they're defending very well. So for me, it's Toronto. I think if you can slow Giannis down, I think you can take them out. Boston, I really think 76 have enough depth on both ends of the floor where they can take Boston. Toronto, Kawhi Leonard, that's the team that I'm nervous about.
Mark Jackson, pre- and post-game analyst for NBC Sports Philadelphia, your 76ers as well. I'm going to get a little selfish here, Mark. Talk about our Temple Owls. Dumphy now out. Now Aaron McKee in. Are we in good hands right now as Temple Owls?
Yes, I believe so. Aaron's, of course, a childhood friend of mine. And I wish, first of all, before I say that, Coach Dump was good. I've known Coach Dump since I was a little kid. Ever since when I was starting to play basketball, he would allow me to use his gym and not kick me out. When I was like 13, 14 years old, I was looking for a place to just work out. And I always admire him and love him for that. But now that the Aaron McKee tenure is in, Aaron's going to have success. How much success is yet to be determined, but he's the kind of guy that he's a basketball guy. He's a gym rat. He's always in a gym. We still play pickup 2 or 3 days a week. So, you know, so Aaron is still there looking for success. And I think a lot of kids can relate to him. And I think some talent. I think you can't win without talent.
Wait, so
you got to be the recruit talent.
Mark Jackson and Aaron McKee are still playing pickup basketball a couple times a week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Tuesday and Thursdays, of course. Oh, yeah.
Can I be a ball boy or something? Can I just? I know I can't hang, but I got to be a fly on the wall for that, my friend.
Oh, yeah. It's still competitive. And we'll get Lynn Gray out there, Lenard Stewart. Yeah, we still get in about two, three days a week.
Oh, Mike, that is awesome, man. Listen to that.
Yeah, you should go try to play, man.
I don't know about trying to play with those guys.
We saw him with the Globetrotters. He's retired.
I embarrassed myself pretty much. That's what happened. But I'll be over there on the sideline, like clapping my hands, telling you guys good hustle and stuff like that, though. I'm a good energy guy. Mark Jackson, thanks so much for coming on with us. Always good to talk to you. Great stuff, my friend.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.